Shall we now turn to the book of Revelation once again? And that is chapter 19, and we shall read from verse 6. From verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And the title we have this evening is The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Here is a marriage described between the Lamb and his wife. It is a marriage of the Lamb. The Lamb is in the forefront. It is his marriage with a woman that is going to be his wife. This is the most ideal marriage. It is the height of all marriage. This is because of the way the Lamb is going to betrothed, get engaged with his beloved and remain faithful to her until the day of marriage. The Word of God prepares the people of God for this great triumphant wedding feast. This marriage is between the Lamb and his wife. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God that became man. If he is the Son of God, why is he called the Lamb? The Lamb symbolizes, first and foremost, sacrifice. God had told the people of Israel to sacrifice a lamb for the atonement of their sin, for their peace, for their oneness with God. Lamb was killed and his blood was applied on the lintel of the door so that the angel of death would pass over. On whose door the blood of the lamb was seen, they were spared of the death of their firstborn son. Life was preserved by the blood of the lamb. The innocent lamb died, but the household lived. The lamb also symbolizes purity, meekness, gentleness, and righteousness. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. For the Lord Jesus Christ truly became the sacrifice for his bride. He was pure, holy, righteous, meek, and gentle of heart. So who is the bride? The bride is the church. The church are men and women called out to be his people. The Lord Jesus Christ chose his people, the church, and got betrothed to her, engaged with her. The promise had been made by the bridegroom that he will marry her and she will be with him forever. Verse 8 says, And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Look what is happening here. To her was granted, was given, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is her righteousness. The bridegroom is giving his wife a payment or a dowry. In certain cultures, it is the bride that gives dowry to the husband. But among the people of God, Israel, it was a man that gave dowry to the woman. And this dowry was a payment that the bridegroom made to her as his wife. She was not free. She was purchased for him with a price. This does not mean that a woman was purchased as an item which was on sale. You know, ordinarily speaking, you will not spend money if something was not useful for you. To buy an item, it cost. You buy because you want it. You love it. You care for it. It is useful for you. You adore it. And so you are ready to spend large amount of money. Actually, if you do not have anything to offer, you cannot have a wife. This means you can only have a wife if you are willing to give. To give. What then Jesus gave to his bride, the church? Did he give her houses of gold? Did he give her vessels filled with diamonds? Did he give her luxury car and a jet to fly by? Did Jesus give her acres of land? Did he give her dresses embroidered with gold and silver and all the riches of the earth? No. He gave her a dress of fine linen, clean and white, and this fine, clean, white linen was his righteousness. His righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God that became man, gave his bride, the church, his own righteousness. He gave himself to her. His righteousness is his very life. And to do this, he had to lay down his life. He had to shed his blood. For life is in the blood, the Bible says. The only way that Jesus could dress his bride, the church, in his own righteousness was by laying his life down for her without reservation, without holding it back, without keeping back anything. He became her sacrifice by which he cleaned her of all her filthiness and dressed her up in this white dress of righteousness. This means greater the love, greater the sacrifice, greater the dedication, greater the price you are willing to pay, greater the single-mindedness, greater the commitment. To give is always a sacrifice on the part of the giver. Did she deserve this? No. You and me, we are the church. We as individuals are his bride, the bride of Christ. Did you and I deserve this? No. You remember Leah, the first daughter of Laban. Jacob loved Rachel, the younger daughter of Laban. He was willing to work freely for Laban in order to have Rachel for his wife. 7 years he worked. He loved her, and so he made a contract with Laban to serve him for 7 years freely. That is quite a sacrifice, isn't it? But then he ended up working for another 7 years for Leah. He did not love Leah. Leah was not his choice. He chose Rachel to love her and have her as his wife. Well, the demand was made on Jacob. Demand was made on Jacob. You want Rachel? Work for 7 years more. And you can have Leah too. Now, Jacob could have easily rejected the offer, but he loved Rachel so much. He was so single-mindedly committed to Rachel that he was willing to sacrifice another 7 years of his sweat and blood. He loved Rachel so much that he was bound by a contract to serve altogether for 14 years. 14 years of labor. I'm talking here about love, sacrifice, dedication, single-mindedness, commitment. Greater the love, greater the sacrifice. Greater the dedication, greater the price you are willing to pay. Greater the single-mindedness, greater the commitment. To give is always a sacrifice on the part of the giver. Look at the love of Christ towards his bride, the church. Consider the dowry that he gave to her, the payment that he made for her. He gave his very life. It goes to show that marriage is not about material things. Marriage is not a business deal. It can be so among the unbelieving people, but not with the people of God. We are seeing in our modern times that marriage has become a business deal. Our modern world claims to be liberated from all the traditions of old about dowry, and that love has become the prime thing in marriage. Is it really so? We know that so much stress is laid by the people of the world upon what I can get from the other person. And talking about marriage, first, it was the parents. The parents demanded so much amount of dowry. This is still happening among many unbelieving societies, whether it is the man that has to give or the woman that has to give. But with the influence of the love of Christ towards his church, people began to understand that marriage is not about material things, but about sacrificial love. Marriage is about giving oneself to the other in commitment, single-mindedness, faithfulness, and dedication. And by and large, societies that became the followers of Christ broke away from the worldly traditions of dowry. Love became the primary goal of marriage. Sacrificial love became the primary way of companionship for marriage contract. However, in the modern days, our world, both the so-called Christian society and the worldly society, is so saturated with materialistic ideology that the lovers have turned once again subtly to dowry system of the past. Of course, it is not openly spoken of as a dowry, especially in the West, where materialism prevails. It has become the norm for young lovers who want to get married and are married. And this attitude and demand to base marriage on material gain has become so compelling upon the mind of the lovers that if one of them don't get what they want, this person walks away from the marriage relationship. Walking away from marriage and breaking the vows have become almost an acceptable thing. You cannot give me this or that, I walk away. I cannot have comfort, I cannot have privacy. I cannot have a space for myself. I cannot have what I want. I will not tolerate this. Bye-bye, amor, until you give me what I want. This is how marriages are based in the dowry system. If you cannot give what I demand for, you cannot have this woman, or you cannot have this man. At times, and now I'm talking about India, the girl's parents at times might give some part of the dowry before the marriage and promise to give the rest of it after a couple of years. And there are instances where the parents are unable to fulfill the promise to give, let's say, a car or a flat or a certain amount of gold or money. Well, then the husband and her family, in many cases, begin to taunt this poor woman. They oppress her with their sharp words. And constant nagging with words can kill a person, you know that. Words of strife, contentions can be very oppressive. It can drive a person crazy. And so with their biting words and grumbling and moaning, they begin to make her life miserable. And it becomes so unbearable that the girl commits suicide. I don't know what marriage vows non-Christians make, but the vows that a Christian couple make to one another is, I take you to be my wife, or I take you to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death us do part, according to God's holy law. And this is my solemn vow. And yet we see marriages are broken. Husband and wife are separated. One walks away from the other. Why? I cannot take this poverty. I cannot take this situation. Of course, if this man or a woman was using violence or constantly, day in and day out, stab the other by nagging and drive a person crazy for a thing like this, one should get away from such a relationship before someone is physically hurt. But otherwise, for the sake of comfort, for a higher materialistic life, or when the other partner is sick, made disabled, the vow stands. Sacrificial love should supremely reign over every situation. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of all creation, he became poor. His bride was poor, so he became poor. He adapted to the bride's situation to show that it is love that matters. It is faithfulness that matters. It is sacrificing that matters. He was tested in all things. He was tempted in all kind of situations. And by taking upon himself the situation of the bride, Jesus showed that he is willing to do and become anything in order to possess her. He actually became a slave, a servant of his church, the bride. He loved his bride, the church, so much that he was willing and he did sacrifice his very life in order to give her the heavenly glory, eternal glory that will never, ever fade away. The Lord Jesus Christ, in order to possess and have his bride for himself, became the Lamb, meek and humble of heart. He took insults from every quarter, from the rich and the poor, from the educated and from the uneducated. He went even so far as to take blows and thorns being pressed upon his head. He took the 39 lashes upon his back. He was stripped of his garments, and a wooden beam was laid upon his shoulders. And finally, he was nailed to the cross as a criminal. He went so far to win his bride. Nothing would stop him from possessing her and adorning her with his righteousness and giving her eternal life. This was the dowry, the payment demanded from him by the father of the bride, you might say. He paid for it all by his blood. By his blood. Dear friends, this is the type of husband a woman must seek. This is the type of woman that a husband must seek. Not materialistic love, not comfortable love, not a love based on feelings, not a temporary love, not a show-off love. A Christian marriage is to be based on the sacrificial love of Jesus. In Christ there is neither male nor female. Both are given the power of the Holy Spirit to live by the Spirit. The robe of righteousness that Jesus has prepared is for both the husband and for the wife. Therefore, both must walk in that righteousness. Both must walk in the vows that they have taken in good times and in troubled times, in poverty or in riches, in good health or in sickness. There is no excuse for this, dear friends, if you are in Christ Jesus. Young people seeking to get married must move away from the idea that marriage is a business deal. I will stick with you provided you give me what I want. This attitude must die. Must die. Dear friends, seek one that is rich towards God, rich in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. If all Christian couples meditate on the love of Christ Jesus towards his bride, we will certainly live a proud and blessed married life. How will we face the Lord our Savior on that day of the marriage of the Lamb? If it resembles to the virgins who had no oil and no light in them, they will not receive an entry for that marriage lamb, for that marriage of the Lamb. They will be kept out. What great joy it is, dear friends, to love each other in challenges. How united the two becomes when they are faced with troubles and sorrows and persecution and poverty and homelessness or whatever together. This being together and when challenges come makes the love even greater. Imitating Christ, dear friend, is the only way where no one and nothing will able to break which the Lord has bound together. Let us pray. O dear Lord our God, what a perfect example Thou, O Lord, have left behind in Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We glorify Him, we praise His name, we preach His name. O Lord, we come and worship Him. Help us, O Lord, to imitate Him. That we pray day in and day out, that our hearts may be widened and broadened and enlarged in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may love our wives and the wife may love the husbands, just as Christ loved the church, His bride. Help us, Lord, and we pray for the many couples who are broken, who are separated. If they would only have one aim, to look at Christ Jesus and to walk towards Christ Jesus, they will be brought together and united together in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.